The author of the Hebrew letter was concerned about the spiritual well-being of those people that initially read his letter. And they were the fellow Jews who had become Christians. And his concern is that they didn't drift back into Judaism, into the way of the Jewish religion. So he deals with this problem in two ways. He emphasizes the superiority of Christ and the superiority of the New Covenant. And he also does so by a series of exhortations for them to remain steadfast. In the first chapter, he writes about the superiority of Christ to the prophets, verses 1 through 3. And then he writes about the superiority of Christ to angels in verses 4 through 14. Now we come to the first of several exhortations, beginning in chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, in which we find a warning about the danger of drifting. And the idea or the figure here suggested is that of a boat drifting along at an almost imperceptible pace, carried along in the wrong direction by a very subtle current. So in this lesson, we're going to examine the reasons why he gave such exhortations and the currents, the different currents that may cause us to drift away, and then try to look at a key to avoid drifting away. So why did he give these reasons for exhortation? Well, there is a real danger of people drifting away from God. It is possible for us to drift away from our very own salvation. And the Hebrew writer in chapter 2, verse 3, says that we can certainly neglect our salvation. Later on in verses 12 through 14, he would talk about that we can learn that we can depart from God, and also that one can so fall away that it becomes impossible to renew them to repentance, chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. And then he goes on to point out in chapter 10, where the sacrifice of Christ is no longer available for their sins, verses 26 and 27. So the danger of drifting is very real. But it is possible for a child of God to so be in sin as to be lost. Otherwise, these exhortations are meaningless. The dignity of the one through whom God has spoken, as we noticed in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that he now speaks to us through his Son. We have seen that this Son is superior to the prophets, verses 1 through 3, and we notice that he's superior to angels, chapter 1, verses 4 through 14. But what we also notice is that the Son is the appointed heir of all things. He is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. He is our sustainer and redeemer. He is the firstborn who receives worship. He is God, enthroned and anointed. He is the Lord, Yahweh, who is the eternal creator, the sovereign, reigning at God's right hand. When God spoke through angels, his word proved steadfast. Every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, Hebrews 2 and verse 2. How much more then, when he speaks through his Son, will not his word prove just as steadfast? And how much more, when he speaks through his Son, will not every unrepented transgression and disobedience receive a just reward? So do we dare neglect the word of God that has been spoken through his Son? He gives a confirmation that's given in this revelation. He says the word spoken by the Son was confirmed by the apostles, Hebrews 2 and verse 3. These individuals were eyewitnesses, as we read in Acts chapter 10 and 2 Peter chapter 1. And they were men who endured a lot to serve him, 1 Corinthians 4. The word spoken by the Son was confirmed even more, as we notice in Hebrews 2 and verse 4. In John chapter 10, we see that God himself, through signs and wonders and miracles, confirmed who Christ was. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul speaks about the Holy Spirit confirming Christ with gifts according to his will. So again, should we neglect that word to which so many have borne witness? But what about drifting away? What do we lose when we drift away? Well, in chapter 2 and verse 3 here, he talks about so great a salvation. It is a great salvation because it offers such things as the forgiveness of sin, the transformation of character by providing power over sin, assurance of God's fatherly presence, a clear and peaceful conscience, a glorious hope for eternity. Do we dare lose all that through simple neglect? Just as those who neglected the word spoken through angels, in other words, the law of Moses, who lost their promised land, so there are grave consequences, serious consequences for those today who neglect the salvation spoken of by the Son of God. And such neglect is possible when we drift away. When we follow that metaphor of drifting, let's notice the currents that might cause us to drift today. There is the current of time. We grow weary in doing good, a concern that Paul expressed in Galatians 6 in verse 9. You know, as time passes by, we gradually lose some of that zeal, that fervor of our devotion, Revelation 2 and verse 4. And we may begin to rest on what we've accomplished in our past and stop pressing forward to that goal, as Paul would write in Philippians 3. There is the current of familiarity. As we become familiar with the truth, it may seem commonplace to us. We may lose its sense of novelty, and we may take it for granted. Just like the Ephesians, we may lose our first love, Revelation 2 and verse 4. There's the current of society. Definitely, the tides of modern opinion can easily induce us into neglecting our salvation, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. You see, we're bombarded by secular humanism, false religions, and even plastic Christianity offered as the truth. And it's hard to maintain the course when we're caught up in this current that society offers. And such things can move us away from the simplicity and wisdom of our Lord. There is the current of the flesh. Our warfare is not only without, but also within, as Peter would tell us in 1 Peter 2. Our flesh is constantly waging war against our souls and against the Spirit who desires that we follow Him. Galatians 5, Paul speaks about the works of the flesh there in verses 16 and 17. And then there's the current of daily concerns. Just the constant pressure of daily cares, daily anxieties, the duties that we face each day, they all can distract us. And Jesus warned against this on several occasions, like in Luke chapter 8 and Luke chapter 21. Any and all of these things can slowly move us away from the Lord and His great salvation if we're not careful. But as we return to our text, we can learn there is a key to prevent drifting away. And we must give the more earnest heed, the writer says. Imagine yourself in a canoe in a river with a slow-moving current, and you fail to pay attention to what you're doing. You don't drop an anchor, you don't secure yourself, and you begin to drift. The drifting can be subtle. But often, by the time you realize it, it's too late. You've drifted farther than you intended to go. And last-minute corrections can be made, but even then, we may still run into the brush, crash into rocks, or go over the falls. And as the writer here tells us, only by giving earnest heed can that be avoided. And that's the way it is with our salvation. We must be diligent to the task at hand. We must constantly be working, 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 10. And there's no place in our spiritual life that we are to be half-hearted about this, Philippians 3. Notice that we must give, he says, the more earnest heed. We're about to be more earnest than those, we are to be more earnest than those who heard the word of God spoken through angels, the Israelites. Because we have the word of God spoken through the Son. And that pertains to a salvation greater than they enjoyed. And Luke 12, verse 48 tells us to whom more is given, more is required. So are you more earnest in giving heed to what you have heard than those saints in the Old Testament? You see, we must give such heed to the things that we have heard, he says. The things we have heard refer to the word of God that's been spoken through his Son. This great salvation, the gospel of Christ in all aspects. And how do we do this? Well, the Bereans provide a good example in Acts 17 and verse 11. The text says they received the word with all readiness and they searched the scriptures daily. And we certainly do this by giving attention whenever God's word is proclaimed. Giving attention to our study of God's word when we're on our own. And giving attention to our study in preparing for our Bible classes. With a sort of study of God's word, we have entered into a prayerful devotion to God, Psalm 119 and verse 18. And we conclude with a prayerful desire to please God, again, Psalm 119 verses 10 and 11. So the question is, are you giving the more earnest heed to the things we have heard? You know, we're about to come up on another year ending, and another year will soon be starting. As we look back on this year, how did you do? And as you look forward to the next year, how will you do? We have been blessed to receive so great a salvation. A salvation spoken to us first through God's own Son and then confirmed by God Himself, the Holy Spirit, and those who heard Him. A salvation much greater than ever offered before to anyone. But we need to note carefully not to reject or actively fight against this great salvation to receive a just reward. Those who simply just drift away through neglect will also not escape. Escape what? Well, from what we learn later on in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, it will be a much worse punishment. So let me ask you this as we close out this lesson. Have you neglected the great salvation that Jesus offers? If so, let this be the first exhortation found in the Hebrew letter. Let it move you to change, to repent, and cause you to give the more earnest heed to the gospel of Christ, to listen to what Jesus said and obey what he says. I want to thank you for being with me this morning. If you have any comments or questions about this lesson, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. You can listen to this lesson again by going to the church's website. That's churchateastside.com. And you can listen to past lessons, you can listen to past sermons, or you can join us this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible study, 10 a.m. for worship service, and we'll meet again this evening at 5 p.m. We also have a midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. I want to thank you for being with me today. And again, if you have any questions or comments or would like to argue or just to simply discuss or just leave a comment, you can email me again at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. Again, thank you very much.